The following podcast may contain inappropriate language, sexual content, and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Gonza.moe No Name Anime Show. I am JP, recording this in the future or the past. I don't know. Technically, I right now am upstate New York, probably miserable, working on a super low budget film. Me and Noel, Noel is my co-host this week. We are recording this 2 weeks in advance, I believe.
Yes, it's me, Noel, and I'm also in the future, and now all anime is just video game isekai.
Thank God.
Yes.
What a bizarre, like, I have the
all
ability
live
to...
live action TV shows as well.
It's like Future Diary. You can tell the future, but only a couple weeks before it happens.
Yes. Now everything's isekai.
And weirdly enough, they managed to destroy the industry in only 2 weeks. That wouldn't be surprising if you listened to last week's podcast that I did with Evan Mento on labor unions in the anime localization industry. But before we get into more of that, because I do have a bit that I forgot to bring up last week, I want to remind you that you're listening to the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show. It's on Gonzo.moe. We're on iTunes. We're on, I don't think they call it that anymore, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can find our Twitter handles in the show notes. This is an hour-long discussion-based anime podcast. Could be reviews, could be news, could be Twitter questions. It's really anything. This week...
could be feet.
This week could be feet. Noel is going to be talking about an anime that he just finished watching, I assume, yesterday, because that's when you texted me about this, called Kotaru Lives Alone.
And yeah, it was more like last week, but yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, at this point, because we're recording this in the future, it's probably a month ago.
Right.
And I'm going to dig into my mystery manga bag because I have not had any time to watch anime with just work stuff has been crazy lately. But I've been reading a lot of manga. So before we get into that, I wanted to talk about something that I forgot to mention during the union show. And both me and Evan also, like, as he was out the door, he's like, fuck, we forgot to talk about Adventure of Dai. So, Anime News Network on, God, so when this comes out, several weeks ago, reported on a do not work notice that SAG-AFTRA put out for Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, English dub. And a lot of people, myself included, we're retweeting it like, yeah, take that, you know, they're on strike, don't do this, whatever. And we did not realize that this is actually year-old news. Mm. I thought that it had sounded familiar, but I figured, like, maybe there was an update, and, you know, I don't know what happened. But for whatever reason, this slipped through the cracks, and Anime News Network reported on it late, but wanted to report on it anyway because... they had just put out Evan's article about the union, and a lot of people are talking about union dubs. So despite it being late, it was still relevant to the conversation, and they were very upfront with the date that this news actually happened and all of that. But there was some missing context that somebody on Twitter was talking about. This is a Twitter user called I Miss Bionics, and... they mentioned that outside of, you know, it being almost exactly, maybe just over exactly a year late, it's a little misleading the way that it's presented. And I don't know if that's necessarily Anime News Network's fault, because if you just read the Do Not Work order, it just like says, hey, don't work on this. So it's with Ocean Group. Ocean Group is a Canadian dubbing studio that may sound familiar.
Yeah, they're the ones who did the early dubs of Dragon Ball and Z, correct?
Yes, I was gonna say best like known for Inuyasha.
Okay,
but yeah, they do a lot of cartoons. They did have, I think they did like the first 13 episodes of Dragon Ball, and possibly, what was it, like the first 20 or 30 episodes of Z. I don't know the exact.
I think it was more than that. I think it was like pretty much halfway through Namek they'd gotten up to, because I believe they're the ones responsible for the like Brian Drummond Vegeta, like the really nasal one that a lot of people refer back to, the over 9,000 one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You took the words right out of my mouth. The meme is from their dub.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, like, in my mind, Chris Sabat that plays Vegeta now?
Chris Sabat plays Vegeta now, yeah.
In my mind, because it sounds close enough, I hear that as him in the meme.
It's hilarious because I think it was the first year of Anime NYC. I was in line. I was in his autograph line. And what was it? There was a guy with me who was like, oh, man, I'm going to have him say over 9,000. And that's when it clicked to me that was not him. That was Brian Drummond. And when I mentioned it to him, he was like, wow, no one's ever said that to me before. And he gave me 2 autographs.
Oh, you like apologized on your friend's behalf?
No, not so much that. I just kind of like worked that into conversation. I was just like, yeah, nah, that's Brian Drummond, right? Not you who does over 9,000. And he's like, yeah, that's like the meme is him, not me.
So do you know off the top of your head what the Funimation version is? Like, is it silly?
I'm pretty sure he says it's over 9,000, but he doesn't like hold on the line the same way Drummond does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the do not work order seems to be in a response to Ocean Group looking to hire some American actors. There's not a ton of information about why. There's speculations that maybe there was issues with the Canadian version of the actors union, which is called ACTRA instead of SAG-AFTRA. Okay. So SAG was just saying like, hey, this company is attempting to hire American voice actors. We have not signed a contract with them. Do not work with them. So I'm guessing because they said that it's a union job in Canada, but I don't know.
Okay. So like different unions from different countries, do they have correspondence like that?
I don't know how that works.
Okay.
Because I know that certain unions are able to work anywhere and other unions are regional. So like I work in a regional union. My membership allows me to work in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, but not Philly, Connecticut, and I think Rhode Island. But that doesn't mean I can't work in other markets. I just have to get permission. And sometimes how that works, this is actually, I got a call for a job like this the other day. I had to turn it down because I'm working on something, but there's, I believe, a Christopher Nolan film shooting in New Jersey right now, and they hired a non-local 52 member to be the boom operator. And in a situation like that, they will sometimes hire what is called a shadow crew member. And that just means that a member from Local 52 needs to be on payroll and credited as this position, but they don't have to do anything.
So that would be your position?
That would have been my position. I would have been there just to be a Local 52 representative for the sound department, but I could just, you know, take a nap all day if I wanted to. And that's just a way of saying like, yeah, we're going to let a non-union person do this, but in exchange, you have to have one of our crew member on payroll because that person is otherwise taking a job away from someone in our jurisdiction.
In that situation, wouldn't it be easier to just hire someone who's in the union?
It would be. There's different reasons to do it. It could be a director hire. It could be, you know, maybe that person is really, really good and has been working with that department head for, I don't know, 30 years or something. And they just don't happen to be in that union. I don't know, there's various We did that on Uncut Gems, actually. So Uncut Gems, the director was the boom operator. And so to the trade-off for that was we had another full-time boom operator on staff, and he just like sat at the cart all day and hung out. So it, you know,
That situation I can understand, but the one you would initially explain to me, it's like it sounds like they're paying two people to do a single job.
In that situation, that's exactly what's happening. That's the whole point of the shadow position, is because by hiring a non-union person, you are taking a union member's job away. And so they're like, well, you can do it, but you also have to give one of our people a job. it is uncommon, but it does happen. I think to answer your question in a different way, some unions, they can work anywhere. Like camera department, I believe, can work anywhere. Their union covers at least all of the United States. But that's, I think makeup is also that way. I think the makeup unions have a much bigger region, because, you know, like an actor isn't necessarily only going to film in California. They might go all over the place and take their makeup is usually a department that will travel with the actors, especially like big name, like Adam Sandler had his own hair and makeup team.
Okay.
Or maybe his wardrobe. Anyway,
that's understandable. Like you wouldn't want just anyone working on your hair and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, especially because that's such a close contact, like private moment type of thing. Mm. But you know, this has very little to do with anime, especially because almost none of it is unionized.
Yeah.
But that is my understanding of the situation, is that they were attempting to hire somebody outside of their jurisdiction and they got caught. But, you know, probably not the first time that's happened and not the last time it's going to happen, because a lot of union actors will use fake names to do stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Wasn't there a time where like anime voice actors specifically went under aliases?
There was a lot of them. I don't know any of them off the top of my head. I think Steve Bloom has done the fake name thing. John Young Bosch, I believe, has done right. it. You know, I think everybody has. It's a little riskier to do it in my business because the market is just so small. And like if I did a non-union movie in New York, I would probably get caught within the week. They usually catch you pretty fast. And there's just no incentive to doing it because it pays less. The working conditions are going to be shittier. And you'll be lucky if you get paid at all. The first film I did in New York, we got paid like a month late.
Damn.
Anyway, so you wanted to talk about Kotaro Lives Alone. So tell me about the show.
Yeah, it's a Netflix show that premiered, I want to say, last month. And yeah, it's, I guess technically it would be considered like a spring season anime. But I notice a lot of the like anime places that like review stuff by the season haven't really been talking about it, because in like a weird space, because I noticed Netflix is also trying to like release and do anime their own way and kind of like push how the medium is released.
Oh, like not necessarily adhering to the seasonal schedule and
yeah,
like, hey, this is a show, it's going to come out when we say it's coming out.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, so Kotaro was released I want to say sometime in March, whereas like a lot of the other shows are premiering now in April.
Oh, shit, you're right. This came out, this is a 10-episode show?
Yeah.
So, what do you call it? The Wikipedia says it comes out tomorrow? Which doesn't make any sense. So that must not be accurate. Unless you're talking about the manga that you completed.
No. I watched the TV series. Oh, okay. So
I guess it's tomorrow in Japan right now.
So here's what's happening. So there's two things. There's an anime And then there's also a live action series. I watched the anime series that, yeah, premiered on like March 10th on Netflix.
Oh shit, it's April right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got so confused because I just looked at my iCal and it said 9. Oh, I was like, how did he watch this in the future? He just said he watched it 3 weeks ago. What's going on?
Like I said, I'm in the future right now.
Sorry, it's we're recording this in April, not March. I'm stupid. Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, so the basic plot of the show is it's about a kid named Kotaro Sato, and he starts living at this apartment building, but he lives there by himself. And the show is really just the tenants of the apartment building kind of A, looking out for him, and B, just kind of being like, what's going on here? Because, like, why does he live by him? He lives by himself. They're like, where is he getting this money from in order to rent this apartment? And also, he has, like, a weird way of talking because he speaks in a very proper, like, almost sort of 1700s manner of speaking.
Oh,
like Jesus. He'll talk to people. He'll be like, good day to you, Lord. And how are you this morrow, lady? And he also walks around with like a little toy samurai sword.
Is this, what is it called? Keigo? Is that what he's doing?
What?
Do you not? So I might be using the wrong word, but I know that this has come up in anime before. I'm a big dork. Everything I know about Japan is from anime.
Exactly.
Where they're like, there's an older style of Japanese, and I think they call it Keigo. And they're like, oh, why are you speaking in this, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's modern day. And I'm wondering if maybe that's what he was doing. Did people just outwardly say like, hey, you're speaking very old? Or was there like a note that told you that that's what he was doing?
No, like, yeah, they outwardly say, like, why do you talk like that? And he says, like, yeah, it's the way the feudal lords speak. And
I'm gonna look this up while you keep talking about the show.
Yeah, and eventually they find out the reason for that is because there's, like, this children's show that he watches all the time that's about, like, this like, Muppet samurai. And that's how they speak in the show. So that's how he talks now. And that's why he carries a little toy samurai sword with him everywhere.
Interesting. I'm not crazy. It is called Keigo.
Okay.
Says it is a honorific speech that is meant to show respect. I'm not going to read this entire article right now. But
okay,
we'll just accept that it's a different form of Japanese, non-traditional, maybe.
Yeah. So what is it? So like first episode, when he first moves in, he buys like tissue boxes and offers them to the other people in the apartment to kind of introduce himself.
Yeah.
And I guess technically the main character of the show is this manga artist named Karino, who he lives directly next door to Kotaro. And so, yeah, just every time he sees the kid, he's like, what's going on here? Why is there just like a kid who lives here by himself? Yeah.
I recognize this artwork.
You do, really?
But I don't. Like, I'd never heard of the show until you texted me yesterday, but I must have only seen this picture. It's like very small. It's the IMDb picture because I always thought it was a little boy with wings, but now that it's a larger photo, it's very clear that that's a scarf.
Okay, I see. Yeah, and basically the way that each episode. The way that most episodes break down are Kotaro's doing something weird and one of his neighbors, most often Karino, is like, hey, why is Kotaro doing this weird thing? And the answer to that is trauma. Just tapped trauma is the reason he does this weird thing. Cause the prime example of this is there's an episode where him and Carino are out shopping. And he makes note that the tissues that Carino buys are of poor quality. And he's saying, you should buy these tissues. They have fine ingredients in them, and they are a high quality, and they are excellent. And most importantly, they're sweet. And Carino stops and he's like, hold on, what's he mean by sweet?
He's eating them, isn't he?
Yes. And the way Carino finds this out is later he's like, he's watching TV and there's this news report about homeless children who have been abandoned. And this guy who was an abandoned child talks about like, yeah, there was even a time where there was no food in the house, so I was eating tissues.
I have a weird confession to make. I used to do that.
Really?
Not because I was starving. It was just like a weird, bizarre habit I picked up in high school, I think. Like I would get bored in class and eat paper. I haven't done this in forever. But I would eat paper, and occasionally I would eat tissues. And I remember always getting bamboozled when I would grab a tissue and it would turn out to be a lotion tissue. That is the worst. I mean, eating tissue is not a great thing to do. They don't taste good. It's just a weird mouthfeel.
See, that's the thing, because like according to Kotaro, like those are the ones you're supposed to be getting the lotion tissues.
I'm supposed to be getting it's so gross.
Because yeah, according to him, those are the good ones. And yeah, that results in like the next time they're shopping and Kotaro has these tissues and he's like, oh man, look at these ingredients. Like Carino just snatches them from him and says like, here, buy these cheap tissues. You don't need to eat them because you have food.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to buy you a Nutri-Grain bar. Just knock it off.
No, like he has food. It's just like this traumatic thing from when he had nothing.
It is interesting to me that like, they would put the ingredients on the back of the tissue box. Maybe that's a thing they do in Japan.
And so was it like Kotaro has other neighbors as well? He's got this guy who is very clearly a Yakuza.
Oh, I think I know. I'm looking at pictures on a Google image. I think I know who you're talking about. Is this the guy with the sunglasses and the tie?
Yeah, the guy with the sunglasses, the tie, and the leopard suit.
Oh, he doesn't have that in the picture I'm looking at.
Okay. And yeah, like he's very into hanging out with Kotaro because he can't hang out with his son because his ex-wife is like very much like he sees his son when she deems it's okay.
I mean, if you're in the Yakuza, like, yeah, probably don't want your kid growing up kid around that.
Hanging around. Yeah. And then he's got another neighbor who's this hostess, and Kotaro becomes like very fixated on her. Like he hangs around with her all the time. There's also like an episode where he comes to the hostess club.
Oh God.
And like pays to sit with her.
Wait, so do they talk about where all this money came from?
Yes. So there's an episode that explains basically it's apparently a payout from his mother's life insurance policy.
Oh my God.
And he gets this money like every week. But apparently he does not know that she is dead.
Yeah, he just gets these magical checks and doesn't question it.
Yeah, so they're like, I think episode 3, they introduce a lawyer who it's her job to deliver him the money each week. And her superior tells her when he asks where the money's from, just tell him it's from a mysterious benefactor because we don't want to tell him that his mom's dead.
Fair.
And so it's not necessarily that he believes it, but he just goes along with it. He's just like, okay, mysterious benefactor. Cool. Because, yeah, that's like another thing about Kotaro is that he's the way the show, because I don't think I ever mentioned his age. He's like 5 years old.
Oh, he's five. I was going to guess 10. He's very clearly young based on the pictures that I'm looking at.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it is especially harrowing. He is a 5 year old boy. Yeah. And so,
just like figuring it out. Did somebody give him this apartment, or did he apply? How did he get an apartment? Did you say that and I just didn't catch it?
No, like that's also said too. Like first episode, they say that apparently the landlords who own the apartment building are just such shady assholes that just, a kid
as long
walked
as they get
up,
paid.
Yeah, as long as they get the money, they're like, whatever, we don't care.
That seems to be the plot in a lot of anime. Because that happened in Chunibyo, I believe. One of the characters is like, I'm 13. Welcome to my apartment. I don't know how I pay for this.
Yeah, the landlords are just like, as long as I get my money, it's all good. I don't use it.
I need more of that in my life, honestly. I need more people that are like, fuck the rules as long as you pay me. Getting an apartment in New York is very hard. Even if you could have a year's worth of rent in cash in front of the landlord, and legally they can't give it to you. But some of them would be like, all right, whatever, I'll see you in a year.
Yeah.
I don't know those people.
Yeah, and so basically the plot of the show is like these people sort of become Kotaro's found family. Because he also goes to kindergarten. Like he applies himself.
All right.
He applies it into a kindergarten. So yeah, he's not just like sitting around doing whatever.
Yeah, he just figured out the bus schedule.
Yeah. Like,
God, I would have not survived in that situation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very scary because like they go into a bit of his backstory. They don't explicitly say what's going on, but what you kind of pick up is that his dad is around, but for whatever reason, his mother and father separated, and then his mom just kind of left him.
Yeah.
And then after that, he ended up in a group home, and from there, he somehow ended up from there to this apartment building.
That's rough.
Yeah, it's a delightful show, and then every once in a while they just remind you, oh yeah, no, actually this situation is very harrowing.
Yeah. This is probably child abuse, but we're gonna paint it in a very positive, silly show about eating napkins.
Yes, exactly. Cause yeah, what was it? Like they have an episode where it's like his first day of kindergarten and He goes there alone because he doesn't tell like any of the other tenants at the apartment that that's what's happening today. And then they eventually find out and they're like, oh shit, we got to go be with Kotaro on his big first day of kindergarten. And so,
they have and, like take your parent to work day and he just brings in his most recent check. Like, this is my mom.
Oh no, they have something much sadder. There's like an episode where a balloon vendor, where like a guy's giving out balloons in front of a department store, and Kotaro comes up and gets a balloon, and then he comes up again wearing a hat, and he's like, "I would like a balloon, please." And he's just like, "Kid, you're the same one I gave a balloon to." And he's like, "What? That kid wasn't wearing a hat."
Oh my God.
But eventually the guy gives him a bunch of balloons and he draws faces on them like and names. So he draws like a face and he writes dad. He draws a face, writes mom, and he just like ties them to his belt and he's just walking around the playground with them.
I thought you were going to say he flies away.
No.
He's so tiny that these balloons just caused him to lift off.
Nah. Yeah, and so the guy who handed out the balloons, he's walking past the playground later in the day, and he sees Kotaro with all these balloons that say mom, dad, younger sister, older brother on them. And he's just like, oh, man, I hope those balloons never pop.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What if this is all a ruse and he's actually Baby Gogo 13 and he's got parts of guns in each of the balloons?
Oh, my God.
I think it was like episode 4 of the show.
It was just a ruse. Where's that show? Where's Baby Gogo 13?
I don't know. I think I stole that joke from Fast Karate. Okay. But the balloon thing is real. The balloon thing is from an actual episode of Gogo 13. He sneaks into an amusement park with like plastic gun parts in balloons and then makes a gun and gets his target. It's a very, very weird show.
Yeah.
It sounds like you enjoyed this show.
Yes, I very much did. And I'm very interested in a season 2, or at least tracking down the manga, because I want to learn more about Kotaro's situation. And especially what's going on with his dad, because they allude to his dad a lot. They allude to the fact that he may have been abusive and that he is very keen on finding out where Kotaro is.
It looks like this manga is still running.
Right.
If Wikipedia is to be believed, which sometimes it can't. But it says eight volumes and that it's present. I don't know. That it doesn't have an end date. I don't know how to word things.
Yeah, when it's like the start date and then present, that means it's still good.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Because, there's another episode where they have a picnic and the hostess girl is trying to get a picture of Kotaro, and he's very adamant that he does not want his picture taken. And once again, everybody's like, why is Kotaro being so weird about his picture? And then end of episode, flashback to him in the group home. And you just hear like a dude screaming and throwing furniture and going like, where's my son? Oh. I saw his picture on your website.
Jesus.
So, it's alluded to the fact that he does not want his picture taken for fear that his dad might find him. Oof.
You know, what's wild to me is, so I'm looking at this and, you know, it says it started in March 2015 to, you know, present, and there's only 8 volumes, and you just like, you know, that's what, 8 years of somebody just pouring their life into this manga, and then there's some asshole like me or you that just reads all 8 volumes in an afternoon. Like, that was pretty good. It's all right.
Yeah, isn't that always the thing?
Must just be aggravating being a mangaka.
Yeah, it is crazy like how fast you can consume manga.
Yeah, well, and especially me, because I'm very stupid and have trouble like processing a lot of, like, if there's a ton of action and no dialogue, I just like flip through it quick. I'm like, all right, they're fighting, whatever. Like, I have this, I don't know if it's a bad habit or a learning disability or what, but I read the dialogue a lot of the times without even like perceiving the rest of the page. I'm like, okay, gonna keep going. I don't know if you have that problem. You seem to be much better at understanding manga than I do. I am.
Yeah, I do. Like, shoot. I mean, yeah. And there are some manga where it's like, I've always pinned this as an issue with the artist, is that sometimes fight scenes are hard to decipher.
Yeah, that's like a big issue for me.
Yeah, like, I know that was a case with
Demon Slayer.
No, Yasuhiro Naito. He's the guy who wrote. He's the guy who wrote Trigun.
I never read the Trigun manga, but that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, like some of the stuff that happens in later Trigun and that Blood Blockade Battlefront manga, it is hard to understand just because of the way his art works for. His later art is, that's why I like the that anime for Blood Blockade.
I haven't seen it, but I know that a good portion of the Trigun TV show was anime only. And I wonder if it's because they just didn't know what the fuck to do with it. I think the first...
That would be insane.
I think the first Trigun like manga chapter is like, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes into the show. Like the other stories they either made up or they took from later parts of the manga.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the beginning of the anime is very different, and then the ending is extremely different.
Yeah.
Because if I remember correctly, I think they started working on the anime after like the first volume or so of the manga. And I think that's why they got kind of worked up.
That doesn't surprise me.
And then there was...
That was common in that era. Like, 3 chapters are out. People like it. Let's make a show.
Yeah. And then there was also the whole issue where they're like, Trigun had to switch to a different magazine. And that's how we got Trigun Maximum.
Shit, I think they made the Devilman anime before the manga came out.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Like, what? It's crazy to me.
Yeah. But yeah, it's... But yeah, Kotaro is... It's very much an Inuyasha show.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah. It is an Inuyasha show, and then... But it is built on a lot of themes where it's like, oh man, this is pretty sad.
We should probably define that word for people that don't know. That means like it's a lighthearted, feel good, not like story heavy type show. Is that about right?
If I remember correctly, the word Yashike, doesn't it mean like healing?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
I know people will say like bartender. Is in that genre.
Right. Or like Flying Witch, that show from a couple of years back.
I don't think I've seen that one, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Or even Dragon Maid, a lot of people
will
know that. Yeah. I think that could be defined as the Yashike.
Why not?
Yeah.
Is this something that you would recommend people check out?
Absolutely. I feel like, I definitely feel like not enough people are talking about it.
What, had you always intended to watch this, or did you just turn your Netflix on one day and like, oh, this looks interesting?
Here's the thing. Yeah. Like it's one of those things. It popped up on the top of my Netflix one day. And I said, yeah, let me check this out. We at least watched the first episode of it. And I just got through the other 10 in like a week. And yeah, it is like a powerful show. I will say that.
That seems to be common with the Netflix stuff. The watch like style that you mentioned. Like,
yeah.
A lot of... The people that I follow on Twitter don't seem to follow the Netflix stuff very closely. But the people that do, like, they just went on to watch, I don't know, Breaking Bad or whatever, and it recommended Grappler Baki as their next watch.
It is weird with the Netflix shows because it really is just hit or miss. I don't think there are any, like, middle things in Netflix's, in, like, the queue of original Netflix anime.
Yeah, most of the stuff I've watched, I would say, were definitely in the hit category. There's nothing that was like, this was okay.
Yeah, there's like no okay stuff. It's either like stuff that was really bad and pretty forgettable, or stuff that was actually really good.
Or it's like extreme in a cat, like, what is it called? Super Villains? What was it called?
Super Crooks. Yeah, Super Crooks.
Super Crooks was like, the writing was so bad it was impressive at times. And High-Rise Invasion was another one that's like, this is so over the top that I cannot stop watching this. I don't know if I would call it a good story or a well-written story, but it's so just like unbelievable what is happening that I want more. And that is such a long manga. It's like 30 volumes of manga. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's definitely worth it if you like trash.
Which one? Super Crooks?
High-Rise Invasion. Super Crooks should not really be watched by anyone. It's not.
Okay. Yeah, High-Rise Invasion I'm interested in. I also watched the first episode of Tomodachi Game, and that looks like it's going to be some garbage, and I can't wait to see.
I don't know if I'm watching any Netflix anime right now. Tiger and Bunny, I guess, just came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did watch the first episode of that.
Was it worth waiting 12 years or however long?
I mean, it's... they definitely acknowledge the fact that it's been quite a few years, because this episode is sort of like a reintroduction to what's going on. And also them introducing the fact that, like, hey, now we got new heroes, and now they go about heroing in a completely different way.
Has 10 years passed in the show?
I don't think so, no.
So that, I guess, wouldn't work narratively, because there were unanswered questions in season one.
Yeah, I think it's only been maybe like a year and a half or something like that.
That's fair. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, and apparently, like, now that since Tiger and Bunny worked out so well, now all the heroes work in pairs.
Oh, no. I mean, like, that's fine. I'm not saying that from a viewer perspective, but Tiger and Bunny hated each other for that whole show. It was like at the end, like, I guess you're all right.
Well, yeah.
Now everybody has to have a partner.
Yeah. And I mean, you see that because you have a new pair of heroes, and one of them's all like, don't talk to me. And everybody's just like, oh man, that's funny. That's just how Barnaby was back in the day. And Barnaby's pissed now. He's like, what? No, guys, stop it.
So
I didn't act like that.
The most important thing on people's minds, do they maintain the product placement from season one?
So yes, apparently they have new sponsors on everything. And I asked a friend of mine who's been rewatching the original Tiger and Bunny. Apparently on Netflix now, instead of having no logos, they have completely new sponsors for everybody.
Oh wow. That's really interesting.
Which is really weird for Blue Rose, especially in season two, because like she doesn't drink Pepsi anymore.
Oh yeah.
She drinks like this weird bag juice now, which I'm like, what's happening here?
I think that I have the original version. It's whatever Viz put out.
Okay.
They have like Ustream and Pepsi sounds familiar. Right. Interesting. I figure they probably just made up companies for it. That was such a problem that they ran into in terms of licensing.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Those were all real companies and stuff that they had on their logos, which, yeah, that's why there's the cut where they have nothing and it makes the opening look so weird, because you just have random zoom-ins on parts of their costume.
That are just blank?
Yeah.
That's funny. I've not seen the no logo version, but it does sound bewildering.
I did see it once, and yeah, it's just really weird looking.
They must just have those files somewhere where they can delete the layers or replace them pretty easily, because it sounds like it'd be a lot of work. So right. It's like every scene.
Yeah.
Whatever. So Kotaro lives alone. Sounds like a winner.
It really is. Like, shoot, I don't know why more people aren't talking about it. I'm thinking maybe now we'll get more people talking about it just because the spring season started, and maybe it's getting pushed in with the rest of that.
I thought you were going to say now that we've talked about it, like we have such
that too.
Like, yeah, we have don't just you know? This amazing pull on the anime community.
Yeah, because our finger's on the pulse of anime.
Yeah, take Somebody's that, anime pulse.
Hell yeah.
I was telling Evan as he left, I made a bigger outline because I thought people would actually listen to this one. It's like, what do you mean? Like 28 people listened to my podcast. And I'm grateful for every one of you, but it's just, it's very funny when you like look behind the scenes.
Hey, this might be the turning point because you got Furious Eminem.
Yeah,
now of now Annie we'll, Gamer's fame.
We'll get 29 listeners now.
Yeah. They'll be like, oh snap, they got Evan on. Let's go.
If we hit 30, everybody, we did it.
Yeah, and shoot, I just yeah, and it's just interesting because like a lot of episodes are also just about Kotaro like inadvertently touching people's lives.
Oh my god.
Because yeah. What is it? There's one episode that involves a different Yakuza who like his job is to do scam calls.
Nice.
Yeah. And he makes the call and it just happens to be Kotaro. And he's like, hey kid, how's it going? Is your mom a dad there? I don't know why I have him talking like this.
Oh my god.
And Kotaro's just like, no, I'm actually, see, it wasn't Kotaro's phone. It was like the phone of this elderly couple who had put him in charge of like minding their house while they went shopping or some shit.
Jesus.
And after the guy got off the phone with him, he's just like, oh man, I got to go talk to my son. Cause it made him like reflect on the fact that he doesn't really talk to his son at home.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I'll have to check this one out. I'm going to have to find something to do when I'm not home. I'm just crying in my hotel room every night. So I really wanted today to be the day that I finished Yashahime. And I promise you, all 28 of you, 29 maybe, that we will do a final Yashahime episode at some point. But in the meantime, you still have to deal with me talking about manga. So Noel, before we started, asked me, I guess we're going to talk about more porn? Like, no, because I've been too tired to read pornography. I mostly read manga at night before I'm going to bed. And so just by chance, I happen to be reading smut before I go to bed most nights. But the job that I've been on has been a lot of 14-hour days. And so even my lunch break, I've been too tired to read any manga. So I'm going to talk about some stuff that I read a while ago. One is called Downfall. And I think I talked about this on the Super Happy America Morning. It's possible.
Isn't that the Inio Asano one?
It is. And it is really dire. It's not that Asano is known for writing uplifting stories. They're all kind of miserable, at least all the ones that I've read.
This is the dire episode, people. We got Downfall, and we got Kotaro lives at home, lives
this,
alone.
This manga, so it's one volume. I think I read it all in one subway ride. You talk about reading somebody's life work quickly. And it's ironic because the manga is about a mangaka who just loses their fucking mind. So I'm pretty sure this is semi-autobiographical because it can't not be. So this mangaka has just finished their, you know, like 10 volume or 13 volume series. Which, as we're looking at this Wikipedia, that's probably the better part of a decade that they spent working on this. And it was a very popular series. And their editor is like, all right, so what's next? You know, what's your next big thing going to be? And, you know, he's also getting all these messages on Twitter, like, I can't wait to read your next manga and this and that. And he's like, fuck. I don't know what to do. Like, you know, I just put everything into this series and it's over and all anybody wants to talk about is what I'm going to do next. And so
that BoJack Horseman episode, like, why is there always got to be a next?
Yeah. And so it's just about him struggling with this problem and taking it out on everybody in his life. He ruins his marriage. He, you know, spends a decent part of the manga sleeping with an underage sex worker. I think she's underage. She's very young if she's not. Mm. And he like convinces himself that he's in love with her to like cover up his own, internal grief. And like, just, I'm trying to think of the word, like putting all of that trauma onto her. Using that as like a scapegoat type thing. He's not, you know, cruel to her or anything. Like, they're good friends in it, but he's not, you know, friends with her or sleeping with her or whatever, you know, because they're hanging out. He's doing it to just like cover up his problems. Like, same way that you would, you know, drinking to forget your issues or smoking a ton of weed. Not that I know anything about either of those things.
Definitely.
Yeah. But then they stop hanging out when she realizes, like, you're just doing this so you have a story to write about.
Yes.
It's like, fuck. He also, like, takes a lot of rage out on his assistants. He fires them because obviously he has no work for them anymore. But, you know, they don't have a series. And it's implied but not explicitly shown that he may have sexually harassed one of his manga assistants. And there's also, for people that may want to read this, there is a scene depicting sexual assault in the middle. It is very uncomfortable. It's obviously supposed to be uncomfortable, but just letting you know that that is there. It is the main character in this manga is not meant to be considered a hero in any way. They are a bad person. They are presented as a bad person. And I won't tell you what the ending is, but he's a bad person at the end. There is no redemption for this mangaka. It is just very depressing to read.
Dang. So we went from an anime featuring a mangaka who becomes this like 5-year-old kid's like surrogate dad to one about a mangaka who's just a monster.
Just yes, that is yeah. Some people speculate that this is about Asano. I don't think that's too far off the mark. I don't know anything about the guy, but I know that this came out around the time that Punpun finished. And that is why people think, like, this is probably just he lost his mind for a while.
Yeah, I mean, because was it like, I think Punpun is like his big long-running series.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else they did that ran as long as Punpun did.
Yeah, because that's 5 or 6, like, giant volumes.
Right.
So of anything else, that would be probably 15 or 20. Like, if it was broken up into smaller books.
Yeah, I think it is like 13 when it's broken down, when it was originally released.
Yeah, it's a long one. I haven't read it, and I would like to, but it's hard to get a copy of it now because it's just out of print.
I read the first few volumes. Like, I think I own the first 4.
I just bought all of his current series that's getting an anime. Destruction of Demon Wonder, whatever it's called.
I have the first 3, and I read the first one. I need to still read the other 2.
I was a bad, bad man, and I scanned the red scans of the first volume. and I thought it was all right. And, you know, now that it's getting an anime, it inspired me. Like, maybe I should give this a second try. So I picked it up.
That's something that... that I'm kind of annoyed about. So
that it took this long for him to get an anime?
No. I was talking about scans. So we have so many avenues to read manga legally nowadays. Cause you have, you of course have your print option, but you have like the Viz app and Shonen Jump
and Azuki. And like
Azuki. Yes. Azuki. You also have Comiky and Comixology and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because we have so many of those now, there really isn't like an app to read fan scanlations.
Yeah, that's okay. Fair. That's because like, they all got kicked off the app store.
Yeah, they really have. Yeah. And like the ones that are still on there really fucking suck.
And there's, I don't remember what it's called. I have one on my iPad that is the same, like, for lack of better words, engine as one that used to be on there, but you have to import the files yourself.
Yeah, seriously. Like, because here's the thing. Like, I really wish that the people who put out fan scans and fan scanlations would just stick to shit that is not readily available.
Yeah.
Legally in America.
That would be nice.
Like, yeah, if it's, because I feel like that's where they get caught up with shit. But that's the thing. A lot of them are just interested in getting the clicks from having like fucking the newest One Piece up.
I assume that they make ad revenue somehow on this stuff. Yeah, I can't pretend to know anything about that world. I know a lot of the aggregators are like shady operations. I can't speak for every individual scanning group, but definitely the aggregator sites are all run by assholes.
Exactly. Which, yeah, that just sucks because there's loads of manga that is not available here in the United States. That's only available in Japan and will probably never be translated just because it's either already ended or it's just such an out there premise that even today, it's still kind of iffy on whether or not that's going to come out here.
It is a lot of work. I don't know like if you've ever scanned a book. Let's take out translation totally.
Right.
To scan a manga is so much work because you got to take it apart without damaging it. And then doing every individual page, even if you have an automatic document feeder, that's still a lot of work just like doing the file management.
Right.
Then cleaning up the scans because scanners, not great. I have a magazine project that I'm working on. And even with a nice scanner, it is not a one-to-one of like what's in front of you and what shows up on the screen. You have to do some color correction or just deal with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at about the last couple of minutes. I guess I had some other manga in front of me that I was going to talk about, but I think they deserve a little bit more time. I've been reading Asadora, which is Naoki Urasawa's current manga. I'm also reading Zom 100, which is from the same person that made Alice in Borderland.
Oh, really? I did not realize that.
I haven't read that one myself, but I recently picked up the Omnibus first volume. Because if it's even half as good as Zom 100, I think I'll enjoy it. And then I've also been reading a Yuri manga called Chasing After Aoi Kishiba, which is very fun, but I don't, I ran out of time. So I don't want to just do like a 2-minute, like, and then this, it's a great manga. Go read it, everybody.
Read that manga.
Yeah.
I will. Hey, read Bad Girl Exorcist Reina.
All right, read Solanin.
It's fan scanlated, so you'll have to find a site that does fan scans.
If we're just doing those kind of reviews, watch Just Because. It's really good. And also, yeah. I don't know, watch Gantz. I don't know what you perverts do with your free time.
Yeah, read Gantz G. It's like Gantz, but like an alternate world or something.
Oh my God. Well, this has been the No Name Anime Show. You can find more episodes at gonzo.moe. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. You can find our Twitter handles in the show notes.
That you can.
What else do we do? We're a one-hour podcast. We talk about anime news, reviews, discussion stuff. I killed WJMOE Radio today, April 9th. That is when the server shut down. So I
rest in pepperoni.
I sadly turned off the server. I don't know what I'm going to do with this Mac Mini that I got for it, but whatever. It was cheap. I got it used. It's like a 10-year-old computer. Anyway, thank you for listening to our show. And oh yeah, if you want to leave us a voicemail, which nobody does, 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Man, I was worried we wouldn't make it because I had nothing. Like, fuck, I hope he talks about this show for a long time.
Let's see, I did, but like I was like, do I want to talk about everything that happens in the show?
No, or that just was
like,
the right call.
Yeah.
All I've been doing is working and playing Elden Ring, which I finally beat.
Oh, cool.
It's a good
time. You got all the Elden Rings?
I think so. Okay. The ending is a little ambiguous because you're collecting parts of the ring. I don't think I rebuilt it. It's like Inuyasha and Lord of the Rings. Why couldn't I think of that?
Okay. All I know is that like there's like a lady knight that you got to do stuff for or something.
That's really vague. Yeah. There's a couple of those. What do you know any more details than that? Maybe I could elaborate.
No, I don't know any more of the Elden Ring lore. I know there's like a lady.
It's probably Millennia that you're thinking of because she was used in a lot of the advertising.
Yeah, it's like something with an M.
Yeah, well, there's also a lot of everybody in this game has like the same name because there's Millennia. Or Millennia, Melenia, fucking Malkeith, Millicent. I don't know. They were having quite the time with the M names. And some of them might be the same person. Merica is another one. The story of Elden Ring is so crazy because apparently there was like this god character or something who decided to break themselves off into a man and a woman who then got married and I guess had babies with themselves because it's the same person. And those babies are crazy. And those are all the bosses, the main bosses in the game.
Nice.
Because there was the Elden Ring and I guess one of the kids tried to like usurp the throne because their parents sucked. And so they hired a bunch of, what are they called? Black knife assassins to murder the Elden Lord. But I think they also like killed her in the end. Cause I didn't really understand it's a character named Ronnie and she's pretty obviously dead. And I think it's implied that the assassins got her, but she also is the one that hired them. I don't know. And so you have to fight all of these kids. And I think like some of them aren't required bosses. And I think it's because they just like fucked off and tried to start their own religion. Cause the whole thing is there's this religion called like the Two Fingers or whatever. you got to pray at the Church of America. And like the main bosses, I think, are all like on board with America, and all the side bosses are like, fuck her, I'm starting my own religion. And like the main plot line is just about, I think, overthrowing her. So these other people, I guess you're just fighting them to be a dick because they don't care. They don't want to be the Elden Lord. Am I still going to fuck their shit up? Yes, after dying 35 times.
They don't want the Elden Ring. They want the Elden Pole. I don't know.
Yeah. It's Dragon Ball. Why not? It's a fun game. Very, very hard. I had to overlevel to almost level 200 to be able to beat this stupid game. And I realized in the late game, so you can summon people to help you, you know, beat certain bosses. You can summon up to two players. I didn't realize that when you do that, it makes the bosses harder.
Nice.
And so I'm sitting here trying to beat some of these bosses and just getting my ass kicked. And I remember, like, man, last night I fought this guy and I just, like, kicked his ass. Some of them have two forms. Many of them have two forms. Like, I remember just, like, absolutely embarrassing phase one last night. What is happening? And I looked it up. Like, oh, they get, like, 50% more health and they probably get an attack buff or something. Because then I didn't summon anyone for the final boss and took off one of my special items, and I beat them in my first try.
Cool.
Yeah. Stupid game. Anyway, maybe that's a stinger. The Elden Ring stinger. The Elden Ringer.
The Elden Sting.
The Elden Sting. That's funnier. Oh, man.